come through trials, walk some hard miles. We've been tried in the fire. We've been to the bottom, faced the devil, and we fought him with the Lord on our side. Oh, we've seen his power. So in this hour, when it's too dark to see, in a world that keeps dying, can't help but shout it.
There's not a doubt that That just about had me wired up. We can just trust Him, stand on His word. Well, that's good. Praise the name of the Lord. We will be planning a trip to Central America in the next week or two, and we're going to be giving you those dates for our church body to be attending. If you want to go to Central America, we don't know yet if it's going to be Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, but we'll be getting with you. More than likely, it's going to be where we are purchasing our facility. But if you haven't got your passport and you think you may be interested in going, I say this a lot to you. It takes anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks to get it. Now, you don't even have to tell me you went and applied for it, just if you think you might want to go. And then that way, if at the last minute, if you decide, you'll have it. Amen? This time we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. So good to have our School of Ministry back with us. They hit 13 different churches every single night they were ministering. And the response that we've gotten from pastors is just amazing. And I know that their home church, their home pastor is elated with them, and so are we. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of John, give me just a little bit of volume, my brother. John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20 and verse number 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and put it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather again in this sanctuary to lift high the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what we feel in this place. We feel the precious anointing of the Spirit of the living God. We ask you, Lord, that everything that's done, everything that's said will give glory unto you. I pray that you would anoint every ear. We can hear what you would say to us. Let the word of God find an entrance into our hearts and our lives. I pray you'd anoint me, Lord God. I want to become as an oracle of God this morning. Speak by your Spirit. Change hearts and lives. We ask you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the thought, doubters, stop doubting. The spirit of unbelief is one of the greatest enemies the church will ever have to deal with. We deal with, are we going to believe the report of the Lord, or are we going to believe the report of the world? Amen. I'm either going to believe God or I'm going to doubt God. That is what it all comes down to for the child of God. We must make up our mind that we're going to stand flat-footed on the word of God and trust what he has said. It doesn't matter what the world looks like. It doesn't matter how everybody else moves to the left or to the right. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to stay on the straight and the narrow. I got to get to heaven, church. I'm going to get to heaven someday if I will walk the right way. And it's going to come down to faith. Will I believe in God? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Faith is like a key which turned one way unlocks the power of God. But if you turn the key the other way, it is unbelief. It locks up the power of God. Listen to me. God is not going to move, and he's not going to work the wondrous and the miraculous unless we believe. You study the word of God all throughout the New Testament. You will find those who Jesus, he marveled at because they believed him. He said, "Great is thy faith." He marveled at those type, but he also marveled at those who just would not believe his word, who had doubt and who had unbelief creep into their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to get anything until we stand on the word of God and say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe God for the supernatural." He's not going to move without faith. As a matter of fact, Jesus could not move in his own town, his own community, because of their lack of faith. In Matthew 13 and 58, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Think about it. Well, God can do anything. Yes, he can do anything, but he chooses to operate through a people who will believe him. Could he do it if we didn't believe? Well, sure he could, but that's not the pattern of the Almighty God. He wants a people who are going to believe for the supernatural. What is the definition of faith? Hebrews 11 and 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If I can see it, if I can manipulate it, if I can handle it, it's not faith. Listen, those things that you and I are going to trust for God for, you're not going to be able to handle. God's not always going to show it to you. He's not always going to reveal the future. But what you and I must do is trust the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, and God will direct our path. We must believe God. Unbelief locks up the power of God. Which is going to win in my life and in your life? Either faith is going to win or unbelief is going to win. Let me warn you today, Satan's number one attack on every one of us, every one of you dads and moms and young people, grandpas and grandmas, Satan's number one attack is going to be against your faith. He's going to come against your faith. He's going to come against the fact, do you believe this is the authentic, authoritative, eternal word of God? Why? Why is he coming against our faith? Why does he come against and assail us in that area? Because if we lose faith in God and his eternal word, you are easy prey for the enemy in every other category. Hear me, if you lose faith, if you lose trust in God's word, then everything else is broke down little by little in our lives. Listen, if we lose faith, everything else will end up crumbling around us. Listen, if I were the devil this morning, and I'm not. If I were the devil, I would constantly get you to question why God does certain things, and why is this happening the way it is, and why would this person go to hell, and why would God choose this? If I were the devil, I would constantly place those questions in your mind, because that's exactly what he does. That's exactly how the enemy operates. If I were the devil today, I would tell you the word of God. How could it be true? It was written by all these different men through all of these different years. I would tell you that maybe some of the word of God is true, and maybe some of it is not true. If I were the devil, I would tell you that. If I were the devil today, I would constantly place questions in our mind about things that we just do not understand. I would constantly question whether or not hell and heaven exist. If I were the devil. Listen, the devil is a devil. He's very good at his job today. He's constantly placing thoughts in our mind. Have you ever wondered? Don't raise your hand today, but have you ever wondered, is this thing really real? If I die, is there really an eternity? Well, I'm going to assure you today, on the authority of the written, authoritative word of God, there is an afterlife. There is a real heaven to gain and a real hell to shun. And I'm going to prove it to you today. Isaiah. Listen, God is real. Heaven is really real, my friend. He is as real, God, as real can be. Don't ever let it cross your mind for one moment of time that he's not really real, because this thing is real. Satan's going to come against your faith. It's time, harvest time, church, that we put our war clothes on. It's time that we get our minds made up. It's not a playground. It's a battleground. And we must put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul describes the warfare of the child of God, he talks about the armor. All the armor is for the front. Why? Because the child of God is to always move forward. We're never to retreat. We're never to run. He told David, you can run through the troop and leap over the wall. Amen. I'm telling you, we're on the offense. But he gives all of the different warfare and the weapons and the things that you're to put on. The helmet of salvation. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, and he names all of these things. But then he says this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Listen to me, the enemy's constantly shooting arrows at you and I in our mind, attacking our mind constantly, shooting the arrows of the enemy, and you and I have got to hold up the shield of faith. In the old times, they would dip the tip of their arrow in flammable material, set it on fire, and they would shoot the enemy, and they would everything that it shot would be engulfed in flames. Listen, that shield was made of a certain material, and it would not catch on fire. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I will stand on the word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and your faith begins to increase, you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, he said, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 31 and 32, Jesus one day, he comes to Simon Peter, and he says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith, there it is again, that your faith fail not. Then he said, after you've been converted, after you've repented, after you've got over this thing, strengthen the brethren. And then he begins to tell him, you're going to deny me three times. You know what happened. Peter, he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Well, he did deny Jesus. And listen, his faith was put to the test. You can just imagine what he went through whenever his Jesus was dying on that cross. He had denied that he ever even knew the Lord. All kind of demonic things come against his mind. Satan told him, you ought to give up. You betrayed your own Savior. But you know what he said? Jesus said, I've already prayed for you, that when you're going through the hardest time in your life, that your faith fail not. Well, I'm praying for some of you, but I can tell you the most important thing and the most encouraging thing is Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the people of God. I don't know what you're going through today, but I can tell you Jesus is praying for you that your faith fail not. Have you failed? Get up. Repent. Don't stop believing God. Listen, I don't know who this is for today, but I believe that somebody's faith is really under attack today. Somebody, or you're under the guns. Maybe it may be in one of the categories. There's many categories. Some would even question whether or not God is real. Or maybe the faith that's under attack is believing God for a miracle. Believing God or standing on his word. There are many areas that we can come under attack in. Listen, I was at a funeral this week. Brother Glenn Dixon's mom passed away at 92 years of age. That's the kind of funerals. I mean, it's hard to lose a woman of God like that. But whenever you know that she's asking Jesus, get me out of here. She said, Jesus, come take me out of here. It was a Thursday. It was this week, last week, Thursday. And her pastor was conducting the funeral. And I was sitting there. And all of a sudden, something happened to me that has never happened to me quite like this. I'm listening to this man conduct the funeral. And the Spirit of the Lord began to bring Old Testament prophecies to my mind. It was like he would bring scriptures and from the old to the new, and he began to show me how things were fulfilled. And I mean, just flashes of prophecies being fulfilled. The authenticity of the word of God cannot be denied. I began to look at the signs of the times everywhere. I'm telling you, I'm just sitting there in just a few minute segment, and I'm seeing all these things, and I'm just seeing them very quickly. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. Doubters, stop doubting. I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Oh, are you want me to minister on this word? Or you want me to preach that Sunday morning? And all of a sudden, he just kept showing me Old Testament prophecies. He kept showing me all the things that are so evident to a believer that had stayed in the word of God, who's got eternal eyes of faith, that's constantly looking up, that has not been their eyes dimmed by the things of this world. And I'm going to tell you, I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to preach this? And he said it again to me. The second time, doubters, stop doubting. Well, I put it on the back burner, and I finished listening to the minister, and we left that service. And not just a few minutes after I left the service, 10 to 15 minutes, I'm heading down the road, and I received a phone call from an individual. This individual began to explain some problems that they're going through, and I won't go into any of that, but I will say that my response was, sounds to me like the Lord's trying to get a hold of you. Well, this individual said, you know, I used to serve God, but I've been reading some things and I'm having trouble doubting God or believing God. Doubt is in my heart. I said, oh my, this is 10 or 15 minutes after I left the funeral. I said, well, it sounds like God's trying to get your attention. You need to be at church Sunday morning. They said, I'll be there. Well, let me preach to you today. Doubters, stop doubting. I looked at my wife and I said, you ain't going to believe this. I can tell you that's confirmation that God's talking to somebody, and it's not just that one individual that called me. I believe that somebody in this house, you're struggling believing God. Well, God's going to help you today. He's going to instill the word of life. He's going to increase your faith today. Believe God, because God, his word is true. Amen. In our text, one of the disciples, his name was Thomas. He was not with Jesus or the other disciples when Jesus first made his appearance. Jesus had rose from the dead, and he makes his appearance to the disciples, and they are beside themselves. Because Jesus is alive. They watched him die. They watched him be beaten, nailed upon that cross. They watched his lifeless body as they took him off of the tree. They beheld his lifeless body. They knew that he was buried in that tomb. But the third day, Jesus rose again. That's the difference between our God and every other God. Our God is alive today, but every other God is still in the grave. I'm going to tell you something. Buddha is still in the grave. He's probably nothing but dust right now. Muhammad and all the other false prophets are dead and gone. But my Jesus is alive forevermore. He holds in his hands the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus rose from the dead, and he made his appearance to the disciples. Can you imagine what it must have been like that day when Jesus makes his appearance to those disciples? They handled the body of the Lord Jesus. They talked to him. They walked with him. Thomas was not there. When Thomas came back, Jesus had already left, and the disciples tell Thomas, "We have seen the Lord, Thomas." Thomas said, "Really? You have. That's wonderful. I can't believe that. I've watched him die. I watched the blood stream down his body. I watched him stop breathing. Listen, I can't believe unless I see with my own eyes the print of the nails and place my fingers in the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side." He said, "I'm sorry, guys. I just can't believe unless I see these things." Oh, listen. I understand what's going on here. Simply, Thomas is just wanting some proof. Prove it to me. Listen to me today. We are believing the word of God in a God we have never seen before. We are believing. Every one of you are here today not because you wanted something to do, or listen, if you wanted to join a club, you could join the country club down the road. This is not some kind of glorified country club. This is the church of the living God. And you and I, we have been washed and redeemed, and we are looking for heaven. We are believing in a God that we have never seen with our own eyes, but we're standing on the word of God. Listen, all Thomas wants is a little proof. Now, that's where he got his name. Can you drop one of these temperatures down to 70? One of these guys. That's where he got his name, Doubting Thomas. And I believe that Thomas gets a bad rap. You ain't nothing but a doubting Thomas. I believe all of us got a little doubting Thomas in us. I'm not saying that you do not necessarily believe that Jesus is alive, but there's a lot of unbelief that creeps in this heart. Oh, listen, I've been there when I struggle believing God is going to do the work. Yeah, I know God did it in the Word of God. We have no problem believing that He did it in this book. We just have problems believing He's going to do it for us right now. Well, let me tell you, it's the same God in this book that is alive today. The same miracle-working power then, He does it again today. If we can believe, church, that's what it comes down to. Will you trust the Lord? Will you believe the Lord? You can get your miracle. We look at this. Thomas was doubting. We doubt. He just basically wanted to know, is it really happened? Did it really take place? We all have this mindset. Is this thing really real? Maybe you've even struggled with, is the gospel real? We've oftentimes struggled with, is God hearing me when I pray? We oftentimes struggle with these things. And you may say, well, Brother Matt, not me. I don't have any struggles in that area. Well, I can tell you everybody has struggles in that area. Maybe you haven't struggled with it here recently, but somewhere along the journey, you're going to wonder, is this thing really real? It'll pop in your mind and you've got a war against it. Listen, it's a battleground. Thoughts come in our mind constantly. I've heard some of the greatest saints of God on their deathbed, they struggle just for a minute moment, wondering, when my heart stops beating, is there really going to be an eternity? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say it again to you. There is an eternity. And there is proof in the Word of God. Some want to take part of the Word of God and leave the other. We're living in a world today where doubt comes in all forms. Listen, if you want to believe part of this book, but you don't want to believe all this book, you can forget about it. In this Bible, in this walk with God, it's either all or nothing. I either eat the whole book, I have none of the book at all. Listen, all of this book is either all true or it is all a lie. Well, let me say, it is all true today. The Word of God is true. Listen, 1 in 10 Americans now claim to be atheist or agnostic. And it's moving, it's growing across America. 1 in 10 Americans. And the other ones are starting to fall out of church. The stats are rising. Others claim the Bible is just partly true. Listen, it is all true. We are under attack in our Christian faith. We, as the children of God, listen, if we're betting on our souls that this is either true or false, wouldn't it be good if there was a little proof? Because that's what we're doing. We're betting our souls on what we stand on is true. Since we are asked to believe God in a God who is invisible, is it too much to ask that a little proof be given to us? Now, some would say, absolutely not, Brother Matt. Some would say, yes. You should just believe God. You should just stand on His Word. Well, I do that. And I believe that whenever the Spirit of God convicted me, listen, I heard the gospel. I just heard a small portion of the gospel that Jesus came, was born of a virgin maiden. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I felt the prick and the prompting of the Spirit, and I got saved. I didn't have to have from A to Z everything in between. I just believed God. But I'm going to give you some proof today that God is real. Because God has provided indisputable proof that He exists, knows what's going to happen in the future, and can control events taking place on the earth. The evidence is found in numerous predictions recorded in Scripture by biblical prophets. You don't need to have your every question answered before you can believe God. Now think about it like this. A jury doesn't have to have every question answer before it can reach a verdict, does it? It's highly unlikely that the members of a jury will see a video recording of the accused person committing the murder. They just need to examine the evidence, such as the defendant's fingerprints at the crime scene and a few other pieces, to form a guilty or non-guilty verdict. Listen, God has also left us some indisputable evidence that He does exist. The Old Testament prophets prophesied, who wrote certain books of the Bible, about events that would take place hundreds of years into the future. As you study the Word of God, how could they have known this? How could everything line up completely and totally? I can tell you how, because God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows everything that's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, 50 years from today. He even knows the decisions that I'm going to make. Brother Matt, how can that be? I can't understand that. Well, listen, God didn't say we have to understand everything. Just believe what's in the Word of God. I don't understand how this earth rotates on its axis. And I can tell you, you can give me a scientific explanation for it, it still don't make sense to me. I can tell you, God did it, and He is almighty. You don't have to understand everything. Just know that God is, and He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Can I get a witness in this house? God is real. And it is indisputable evidence to prove it. Let me point out a few things that show us indisputable evidence. The prophet Micah lived 700 years before Christ. 700 years. God revealed to Micah a future event that would take place in Micah 5:2. Out of all the cities in the world, Bethlehem would be the location that the Messiah was born. Guess what? 700 years after the prophecy of Micah, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Oh, listen, and there's hundreds more. I'm not going to give you hundreds. The prophet Zechariah predicted that the Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, which was fulfilled when Judas betrayed him. The prophet accurately described the exact number of pieces, which was 30 and not 29. The prophet said it would be silver and not gold. Guess what? It was 30 pieces of silver. And that prophecy was given in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. And it was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, 3 through 7. Let me tell you, that is impossible. Statistically, that's not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. It's a God who knows and spoke to a prophet. God can speak. He still speaks by His word and by His spirit. Zechariah also prophesied that Jesus would be pierced, which was fulfilled when the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear in Zechariah chapter 12 and 10. It was fulfilled in John chapter 19 and 34. A coincidence? Stop doubting, doubters. I'm telling you right now, everything falls together. It is exactly how the Old Testament said that it would take place. The prophet Isaiah, writing 700 years before Christ. Hear me. 700 years, Isaiah predicted the Messiah would be scourged and buried in a rich man's tomb. Do you know what happened 700 years after he wrote this? In Matthew 27 and 60, Jesus fulfilled the exact prophecy exactly how he said it. In Psalms chapter 22, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, King David described the crucifixion of Christ, saying that his hands and his feet would be pierced. Now listen, I'm telling you, it gets more detailed and more detailed. How could David have known that 1,000 years before Jesus was even born? Because they didn't even have this type of crucifixion in David's day. I'll tell you why, because God is God, and He knows. And He knows what's going to happen next week and next year. He knows when He's about to get us out of this place. Doubters, stop doubting. Stop looking and listening to everything the world's saying. Stop pulling up stuff on the internet. Pull up the written authoritative word of the Most High God. I'm going to tell you, this is life. It is truth. Let all men be liars, but let God's word be truth. You can just listen to somebody that's intelligent, that creates a case against Christianity, and If you're not studied and versed in the Word of God and understand that they are charlatans or wolves in sheep's clothing, you can easily be beguiled by a good speaker, someone who is articulate, intelligent, and lies. Listen, you can be in a courtroom and somebody could be the best liar in the state of Texas, and they get up there and you believe everything they said, and somebody else telling the truth and they just don't tell the truth very good, and you believe the one that's more convincing. We need to stop listening to the arguments of men and get back to the Word of the Most High God. Listen, we haven't even scratched the surface. The fact that hundreds of Bible prophecies have been fulfilled exactly as foretold is irrefutable evidence that God not only exists, but that He is controlling history. We read that Jesus would be born of a virgin. That was prophesied 740 years before Christ was born. It was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1. We also read in that Jesus would be, or after he was born, babies would be killed in Bethlehem, prophesied 580 years before Christ, fulfilled in Matthew 2 and 16. We read in Psalms 35 and 19, he would be hated for no reason. And in Jesus said in John 15, they hated me without a cause. We read in Zechariah 11 and 13 that the betrayal money would pay for potter's field. It was fulfilled in Matthew 27 and 7. We read that he would be silent before his accusers in Isaiah 53. That was written 680 years before Jesus was born. It was fulfilled in Matthew 26. Like a lamb dumb before shearers, he opened not his mouth. Let me tell you, this thing is real. Heaven is real. The Word of God is real. Jesus is the Messiah. And there's about 74 prophecies in the Old Testament that have been fulfilled in the New, just that Jesus is the Messiah. Ladies and gentlemen, He is the Messiah. He is the Son of the Most High God, and there's healing in His wings. There's salvation in His name. I'm telling you, there is power in the wonderful name of Jesus. The Bible also prophesies in Micah chapter 5 and 1, He would be beaten with a rod. 722 years before Jesus was born, it was fulfilled in Mark chapter 15 and 19. Doubters, stop doubting. Stop letting unbelief come into that heart. Stop meditating. Stop listening to other people. I witnessed to a young man not very long ago. He used to attend this church, and he's moved into a homosexual lifestyle. When I came to him, here's what he said. I do not believe that the Bible even exists. It is the number one assault on humanity that coming against our faith, not only in the church, but on the outside of the church. If the devil can get you to believe that this is not real, he'll break you down in every other area. And that's exactly what happened to this young man. I said, well, listen, it doesn't matter what you believe or what anybody else believes. I was at that funeral yesterday, and I believe that God spoke to us. But I told him, I said, listen, my opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. All that matters is what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stop getting caught up with everybody's opinion. What about prophecies that were written about the end times? Now, I pulled up 71 to 75 prophecies that Jesus is the Messiah, prophecies in the Old Testament to the New. What about end time prophecies? There's many. But global communications was foreseen 2,000 years ago. Revelation chapter 11. The Bible says that the two witnesses during the tribulation, the two witnesses, after the rapture of the church has taken place, the church is in heaven, the two witnesses would come. And they would preach the everlasting gospel. They would torment the nations. Many believe it's Enoch and Elijah. These two witnesses preached. Others believe it was Moses and Elijah. They preached. And the Bible says the beast came out of the sea and he killed the two witnesses. The two witnesses laid in the streets, and this is what's going to happen. The two witnesses, the two olive branches in Revelation 11, will lay their dead bodies, will lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And at the 3.5 day point, the two witnesses, the spirit of life will enter into them, and they'll stand up before the whole world. many years ago, but in just 100 years ago, no one, our forefathers, did not understand how the whole world would be able to see this, because the Bible says in Revelation that the whole world would view the two witnesses put to death and then rise back to life. Listen, the invention of television and the deployment of global satellites and phones. Listen, with this phone right here, all you got to do is video it, put it on social media. It hits the airwaves and it's all over the world within an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole world is going to see the two witnesses killed and rise up. Oh, let me tell you, if that's not a prophetic event that was told 2,000 years ago that nobody could have known but God, I don't know what is. Doubters, you better quit doubting. Mankind would also be capable of destroying life. This is a prophecy. Matthew 24, 21 through 22. Consider that when Jesus made this prophecy, it was a day of only swords and spears. But today, with nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, it is possible to wipe out all flesh on the planet within moments. The use of nuclear weapons anticipated in Zechariah 14 and 12. The Bible says in Zechariah 14 and 12, was it written somewhere around 3,500 years before Christ, or 700 years before Christ? So that means close to 27 to 3,000 years ago. Zechariah prophesied that in this war, the tongue would melt in the mouth. That was impossible before nuclear weapons, and they came out in the 20th century? Listen, how could this happen? How could this take place? Only God could know that. Listen, doubter, you need to stop doubting. We need to stop looking at everything else, because Satan's assaulting our faith, and he wants to break you down little by little. Years ago, a man came to Brother Clendenin, and he said, my dad, he used to be just like you, Brother Clendenin. He used to stand for righteousness. He used to be separated from the world. But he said, man, now he lets everything in that church. I'm not talking about legalistic stuff. You know, not everybody's identically the same in this church. But we will stand on the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, we're going to stand on it. Amen? But he said, used to, he would stand on the authoritative Word of God. Brother Clinton, he said, Brother Clinton, and my dad said he just got tired of fighting it all. Brother Clendenin responded to him. He said, no, son, that's unbelief. That's doubt when it creeps in. Whenever you start doubting the Word of God, you'll get broke down in every area. Have you compromised your convictions? Have you stopped being faithful to the house of God? Have you begun to enter into sin? Let me tell you, your faith is under attack today, and you've got to get back to that altar. You've got to believe God. You've got to ask Him to increase it. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan, he's assailing the church right now. He's coming against our faith. But Jesus said, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. And listen, just because Jesus is praying for us, does it mean that we're automatically going to be preserved? We're free moral agents with a choice. We've got to make the choice to respond. Listen, the fact that God once flooded the earth, the flood of Noah, it's being denied by many. But even science shows us right now that there was a flood that covered the whole earth. Someone come to the piano. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 and 4, speaking about the end times. Daniel prophesied about the 70 weeks. There's so many prophecies. I mean, I'm giving you probably 10, 15 prophecies. There's about 140 that I found. 140 prophecies dealing with the Messiah in end time prophecies. Daniel says in the last day, Daniel chapter 12 and 4, that knowledge would increase. We call this a knowledge explosion. Do you understand that knowledge is increasing so rapidly right now? Now, if you just go back to the 1900s, now Jesus passed, or he died 2,000 years ago, right? Everything remained the same almost all the way up to the 1900s. For 1900 years in technology. Have you ever thought about that? 1800 to 1900 years, almost everything remained the same. Then we had electricity. We had the light bulb. We had the airplane. We had the vehicle. We had all these inventions. And then it started moving faster and faster and faster. When me and Sister Tori got married, y'all really gonna think I'm old. Cell phone? We've been married 22 years. What's a cell phone? What are you talking about? I remember working at Brookshire's and this rich South Tyler resident brought this big bag in. They're at the checkout and they pull out their big phone. And I just looked and I thought, that is so dumb. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Pagers, we had pagers back then. And Sister Tori, we were just newly married and she would page me. And I looked for a payphone. That sounds like a long time ago. 22 years ago. 22 years ago. I'd call her on that payphone. And we'd talk a few minutes. I said, I got to get to work. And then the flip phone turned into the smartphone. The computers are advancing so fast that you can't even hardly buy anything and spend a lot of money because you're going to have to buy it. I mean, we're going through computers like Caleb Gregory's going through blue jeans. Doubter, stop doubting. Knowledge would increase. There's an explosion of knowledge right now. It's happening so fast. It's happening so fast. In my mind, I was in that funeral, Sister Dixon's funeral, and I was thinking, can people not see this? Can people not see the biblical prophecies? Some can, and some can't. Matthew 24, deadly diseases would be common. He talks about this, and we've seen deadly diseases. AIDS in the 80s, Ebola, West Nile virus, SARS, bird flu, and COVID-19. It's all prophetic. The final generation would be open to receiving a mark on their right hand or their forehead. I want you to think about this for a second. In Revelation, and we believe the time frame, and you want to sit down with me and talk about it. If you don't believe in the same time frame of the rapture, we'll sit down and we'll converse. Hey, if you believe you want to go through the tribulation, that's your call. As long as you're ready when the rapture takes place, whatever. But I will say this: I believe the church will be raptured out of here. I have irrefutable evidence to prove. But during that first phase of tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, the Bible is very clear that no man can buy or sell without the mark. A mark that will be in the right hand or the forehead. A chip that we know it's going to be somewhat like a chip. For years, we've wondered how this is going to take place. Our forefathers wondered. They thought, you know, you watch some of them old movies like in the 60s and 70s, and it's this black stamp on your hand, the mark of the beast. It's not going to happen that way. I remember about 15 years ago when I was working for Frito-Lay, and I had the Sam's wholesale store, and I remember the first time I seen it, the chips, they had put these small chips in the items on pallets, and you could just pull them through these scanners, and it would scan it. I went, wow, the chip, it's here. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, it's here. It's happening. Is the vaccine the mark of the beast? No. It is a precursor to the mark of the beast. What do I mean by that? They're getting you ready. It's a worldwide thing here. I'm not saying it's a sin to take the vaccine. Now, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they're getting you conditioned in your mind to do what they say to do. Amen? Do what they tell you to do. Keep your mouth shut, or we're not going to let you work on your job anymore. Think about it. No man can buy or sell without the mark. You can't go to the grocery store in tribulation unless you have that mark of the beast. You can't do anything. You can't get on a bus, a train, anything unless you have the identification system in the last day. Think about how wonderful it's going to be to have this identification system. All this sex trafficking right now, all these poor people that are being abducted, these women, these young men, even young men and children, never be a problem again. You can track them anywhere in the world. What a great idea. The identification system. Everything's moving toward the rapture of the church. Doubters, please stop doubting. Stop analyzing and trying to figure things out with your carnal mind. And it just don't make sense to me, Brother Matt. It don't have to make sense to you. I've learned this a long time ago. I filter everything through the Word of God. I don't analyze because Romans chapter 8 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This carnal mind, I don't care how smart you are, how innovative you are, how all of your human ingenuity, your mind is an enemy against God. You are not smarter than God. You can't figure God out. You just need to stand on the Word of God. I'll never know why He loved me. I'll never know why He died on an old cross for me, but He did. I don't have to know all the details of life. I just know He's God. Can we stand? He's God, church. Doubter, stop doubting. Stop doubting. Satan's trying to break you down. If you listen to me, some of you are under attack in the area of your faith and you don't even know it. Let me show you some areas. When you start losing your convictions about purity. Okay, a lot of times when people start dating, it's very, very crucial that you draw a line in the sand. And people who are not drawing lines in the sand, they start pulling back. Their faith is under attack. They start finding fault with other people and the church and Christianity. Whenever you are under attack and you're allowing Him to do His work and you're not resisting, you don't really care about being faithful to the house of God, reading the Word of God, praying. You just think it sounds so foolish and so legalistic. It don't make any sense because your faith is under attack and you're allowing doubt to creep in to your heart. Doubters, you better stop doubting. Do you remember at the very end, Thomas, he didn't believe because he couldn't see the Lord. This is my favorite part about the whole passage right here. Jesus did not take a sledgehammer whenever He appeared in the mist and smacked Thomas over the head. I'm so glad. The Bible said that Thomas this time was with the disciples. The door was shut, and Jesus appeared in the mist. He just walked through the door. He was in His glorified body. And Jesus so lovingly and showing so much mercy, He looked at Thomas and said, "Thomas, behold My hands. Look. Thomas, place the fingers of your hand and the nail prints in My hand." And then He pulled back His robe and He said, "Thomas, behold My side." Thomas looked at Him and he said, "My Lord and My God." He's real. Heaven's really real. Some of you are under attack today. Maybe it's in a minor category in your mind and faith. Whatever it is, if it's not a faith, it's sin. If you allow your human mind, your carnal mind to dictate what you do instead of what God's Word says, you're submitting, you have succumbed to the attack of the enemy. When you agree with things that God disagrees with and you listen to the serpent as Eve did, He said, "Did God really say that? Did He really say that's wrong? Or did He say this is right? Is this really God's direction?" Satan always comes and he asks questions. Is this really wrong? Is this really the direction of God? Is this really the mind of God? God always speaks with an explanation point. Satan always comes with a question. God always speaks with authority. His word is true, and it cannot be changed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I preach what you put in my spirit today. I believe that you have a word for this congregation. Lord, I believe that you are speaking to hearts and lives today. Lord, we're betting our souls, our eternity. We are betting our souls on that this word is true. That you are the Son of God. There is many irrefutable facts and so much evidence that you are God the Son. Lord, I'm asking you, let faith arise in the hearts of every person. Those watching by Facebook, if there's anyone watching who did not believe in the Christ as the Son of the living God, I pray, oh God, that Holy Ghost conviction would get a hold of them. Lord, that you would deal with their heart, that you would draw them to you, because you are a God of love. You're a God of mercy and forgiveness. Lord, I ask you, especially for this church today, I know Satan wants to sift families and individuals as wheat. Jesus, you've prayed for us that our faith fail not. Help us. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us. Strengthen us in this hour. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anyone in this house, you're away from God. He wants to save you today. God has a plan for your life. I want you to lift up your hand. If you're a sinner away from God, God sees this hand. Anyone else in this house, you're away from the Lord. Lord sees these hands. He's going to help you today by faith, by faith. Listen to me, Harvest Time Church. If you're not under attack right now, hold on, buckle your seatbelt, because you're going to be under attack. That's just the way it is. And you and I must be ready to war against the enemy. Hold up the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I want everyone to come and find a place to pray, kneel, stand against the wall, wherever you want to go. But I want us to, everyone who possibly can, come to these altars. Satan's attacking that faith. But Jesus has prayed for you that your faith will not fail.